Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Recovery from Relapse meeting on the 7th of May 2024. Delighted to have Marie B joining us from Jacksonville, Florida today, although she was born in Long Island. She came to OA in July 1978, and we're absolutely delighted to hear her story. So, Marie, whenever you're ready, over to you.
Thank you so much, Harriet. Good morning, everybody. My name is Marie B, and I am a recovered compulsive eater for today. So, thank you so much for having me. I'm apologizing ahead of time because I forgot to lock the door. I have a cat or two, and they like camera time. What can I say? So if I have to get up, I just apologize ahead of time. So anyway, just to give you some background, I was sharing with Harriet that I am a military kid. So my mom is from Mindanao in the Philippines. My dad's from Kentucky, which makes quite the mix. My dad used to call us his United Nations kids. So I was very fortunate to grow up in a very pretty diverse background and different traditions. So anyhow, my history, just a really short history for me is what I did share with you about my background. And I share that because from the time I was probably in the start of school, I felt really different than everybody. You know, I wanted that blonde hair, blue eyed thing that seemed so popular, because popular was my higher power. Being accepted by other people was my higher power. And I didn't realize it. And so so my mom especially became a really easy target for me. And really, I'm just so, whoops, there you go. I'm so delighted today to just be who I am. And that's one of the things that Overeaters Anonymous has given me. So moved around a lot as a kid, always wanting to be somebody else. I kept thinking about, you know, only ifs. I had a lot of only ifs. If only this, then I wouldn't eat so much. And as a small child, I didn't really start eating until we lived in Alaska. Mom started baking, and I started eating, and I was off. So that was my trigger point. Although I always had the isms, but that was certainly my trigger point when I started ingesting those things that my body started craving. And, you know, as growing up from that time on, I was, you know, drinking things from the refrigerator. My favorite thing was to take a box of ice cream from the freezer, eat it all up, and then, so nobody would see that I did it. And I would, you know, I'd always go from the bottom. I don't know why I thought that made a difference, but, you know, so I guess from really early on, you know, I was trying to not admit who I was. And so anyway, that's kind of the history, just stealing food from people. And I always felt that shame. You know, I remember being at a birthday party very young, and apparently I thought the icing was mine to go for. And I remember the shame from my mom going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And so I have a lot of, you know, stories like that about growing up, feeling different, etc. The real parts of my story that's most important is when I was came into Overeaters Anonymous. So by that time, my dad had settled down in Florida and had retired here. So I saw a friend of mine, and I said, what are you doing differently? And she told me about Overeaters Anonymous. And let me tell you about OA in 1978. It's not like it is today. We filled the rooms. The rooms were busting back then because we didn't have all the diet, you know, places or the treatment centers or whatever. And that's just the way it was. We had pamphlets. Use the big book and the AA 12 and 12. And there was a lot of diets floating around because Back then, and what I realized later on is that, OA taught me when I finally was willing to listen. I have a spiritual disease. It has a lot of physical symptoms. So I spent most of my recovery time in OA trying to treat the symptoms. And, I'm also a triple winner. So I do belong to a couple other 12-step groups. But me, OA and the compulsive eating has always been my mainstream. If I do nothing else, I will do this to try and feel that ease and comfort, to try and feel like I fit in and to feel more comfortable. So from that early time, I got a sponsor, and that started my using a sponsor as a higher power. I would love to say that I came in and I got abstinent, and then I wouldn't be speaking at this meeting. But I had started 40 plus years of relapsing, And so I just want to say that at the outset, that it took me a long time and a lot of different experiences realize that I had a spiritual disease, and that's the way it needed to be treated. My MO was to come in, weight off, some of the weight off, whatever, have it started going in a downward trend. And then I would start letting up on things because, quite frankly, I was a check the box kind of program girl. Got the sponsor. And sometimes people were asking me to do questions, so I answered the questions. I was a model sponsee until I hit 12. And then it was like, then I was going to do what I wanted to do. And that's kind of been my history of being in OA. I truly thought until this last time that I had my last binge, that I truly thought I could control this physical disease because I didn't realize it was spiritual. And so I would, I'm sure you've heard this a million times. I would go from one to nine. I would give 10 lip service. I didn't even know what 10 was until a few years ago. I mean, I knew what it was, but I didn't understand how to practice it. So it's okay to know what the steps are. But if I don't practice them, then they're just words on a piece of paper, right? So, and then 11, I would give also lip service. 12, I do service, I would do. So if I look at one of the things that I leaned on heavily that kept me in the rooms, and I'm so grateful it kept me in the rooms with service. Well, it just kept me coming back because I treated OA sort of as a club. I felt safe in the rooms. And at that time, a lot of us were really heavy and we did not understand about the disease component, I don't believe. At least I didn't, and the people that I hung around with. So that is kind of my short history of OA, why I didn't leave. Thank God for the people in Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't feel judged. I felt loved. I did my stepping up ceremony. We had ceremonies in the early days. He stepped up, got a plant, whatever. And today, I realize, and this is another thing I didn't realize, that it is a lifetime deal. It's not like somebody can go cut something out and off it goes, and I'll go back to normal, whatever normal is. For me, I will tell you, normal without OA, without my treatment from OA, is to get as full as possible, as fast as possible. And certain things help me do that really, really well because it gives me that extra buzz like alcohol would. And that's, refined sugars and refined pretty much anything. And even though I knew I'm a science person by by training, and I knew some of these things were not the best for me, and I didn't care. So that's what my disease looked like, and I ballooned up to at least 230 pounds, more than that probably. But I just quit weighing, and I was very successful in my career. I didn't. I was married to a very sweet, wonderful man, love of my life, and so it was never the outside stuff, that would help me. But that's always what I was looking to. So that's my history. You go, you lose some weight, you check the boxes on the steps. And then you sponsor, and then you do service work, and 10 and 11 especially just got lost in the shuffle. And what I realize today is that it's a spiritual disease, because I thought I was God, not by excuse me. So my actions were things like, this is how this should be, and I'm going to do my darndest to make it happen the way I think it should be, whether it be a human being or a situation or whatever. I wanted that ease and comfort. I had to learn that I was not general manager of the universe, right? So I have a friend in recovery who said he gave up being general manager of the universe. And I did not understand that until I had gotten a lot further along in recovery. Because I thought I was turning things over to God all the time. I said I was. But when I looked deep inside, was I really turning it over and saying, the outcome is the outcome, and I will be willing to live with this. May not like it, I'll be willing to live with this. So I was always looking for a higher power that would that would solve my problem, except I just wasn't looking in the right places. So I was looking, these are the places I looked at that I believe helped me stay in relapse. First of all, was my sponsor. So that was my higher power. I had to people please her like crazy. So I would say anything, do anything, have that person, like me, care about me, please that person, et cetera. And I went through a lot of years in recovery looking for that just right higher power slash sponsor. And my other one was the perfect food plan. So when I came in, the food plan was, I think we were on blue sheet or gray sheet or blue gray sheet, one of those sheets. Nothing surprised me more than when I was reading some of the history of the program, and the gray sheet, which was one of our first ones, food plan was just because that's the color of paper they had. I thought there was some big mysterious thing about it, right? Just the color of paper they had. So I'm going, well, that's a bust for me. So I was looking for the perfect food plan, and so I tried every single kind. Never ask God what the food plan should be. What should I put to keep my body healthy? I was looking for the right book, including the program books, right? I would be a voracious reader. I would read the self-help books, all of that. That didn't seem to help either, because I would continue and continue to relapse. My perfectionism was another one that I still have to deal with today. I think that one will always be with me. Not to make mistakes. So, if I had an extra whatever on a food plan, it would immediately throw me into a panic, and I would go back into the food. I think I almost used it, as I look back on it, as a reason to get back into the food and to find my ease and comfort. Those are the Those are the things that I thought that would keep me from compulsive eating, and none of them did. It worked for a short period of time, but nothing worked for the long haul. In 1985, I met the ultimate solution to what I thought was my problem, and that was I was single and I was almost 30, and so I got married to a very sweet, wonderful man in 1985, and I lost him in 1920, in 1922, 2022, and he was in program too. And I thought, well, there's somebody in program, I'm in program, and we did have a wonderful marriage most of the time. Our counselors, 6 months of saying I'll do, but that was just some a lot of tweaking that we needed. But I found that wasn't the solution to my problem.
Hi Marie, sorry to interrupt. Can you get a bit closer to the microphone, my love? You've got a little bit quiet all of a sudden.
Okay. I'll try and talk louder. Is that helpful?
Perfect, thank you.
Excuse me, let me just think for a second. So what was the solution to my relapse? My last big relapse was in 2021. My husband had a lot of illnesses. I was like a lot of caregiving going on, and it had been really throughout my marriage. And he liked to eat a lot of sweets. He was not in the way. He was in another program, and I had never touched him because I said my name's not on those, and I still use that sponsored dating that term. Is my name on it? And that worked for me for a long time until I just started really going down more, and I picked up something I never I picked up things that I never thought I would pick up again, and I felt the terror of not being able to put it down, not being able to get away from it. Sometimes I would go off on a binge, and I would look around, and I would not understand how I got where I was. Geographically, but just, it was like, I look around, and there were these wrappers all around me. How did this happen? The bag would be empty or whatever, and obviously my weight came on like gangbusters. But you know what? That's one thing, but how I felt.
Hi Marie, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. We are losing you. I think that it might be a problem with connectivity, because you're sort of fading in and out of getting louder and then going again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let's
I see
see.
now you're super clear, helpfully.
I'm going to have to talk at the top of my voice, so I will give it my best shot. So anyway, that's how I ended up finally going and saying I am powerless. So I will tell you that one of my relapsing moments was I. Not only I realized that I was powerless, but the other part of it that I really had to know was that I could not cruise along anymore. And I couldn't just check the boxes. And so to me, that's when I really started understanding about the disease and the fact that, Bill wasn't going to keep me abstinent. My sponsors weren't going to keep me abstinent. Service does not keep me abstinent. I know that people say service is slimming. Service was not slimming for me. If I don't work the rest of the steps, I got larger being in lots of service. And so I, none of those things worked. I had to start going to a higher power. So I got a sponsor, another sponsor, And she helped me walk through the steps and helped me understand that I could not do it alone. So I couldn't do it alone, and she had me make 3 phone calls a day. I'm going, what the heck? I'm a busy woman. I don't have time for 3 phone calls a day. I made the 3 phone calls a day because I was desperate. That's really the only way to do that, right? So I also she had me listening to meetings and things like that, and so I started doing those things. But there was still a little bit in me that was wanting to use a sponsor, et cetera, as a higher power. And you know what, guys? I just want to do it my way. I just want to do it my way. My way just does not work. But because I'm very tenacious, it took me 40 years to realize that. So anyway, I started working the program, listening, and I took my mind off. Let me, how can I say this? My physical recovery. I am so grateful to lose the weight I've lost. But I have to tell you, the weight loss without the steps does not stay. And I mean continuing to work the steps. So one of the greatest gifts I've been given this last time was to learn how to really work the 10th step. And I have to tell you, I'm in the mothership program. I never learned to work the 10th step the way the big book told me to work it. So what was happening, I realize now, is that, I wasn't taking my trash out every day. It was just like accumulating and accumulating, and it would make me it would give me that it would give me that sense of nervousness and uncomfortability. And I realized when I started working it on a regular basis that that's when I got some peace, because I was keeping that opening with my higher power. I just thought God would do it for me because He loved me so much. I just didn't think that I had to put any effort into it. And that's not true. I have to put in the effort. It's not because I'm not loved or cared for or any of that. It's simply because I have to do my part. I am loved enough that I have to do my part. The other thing I've learned, just not from in the past few years especially, is not to judge myself so harshly. I had to find a higher power. Believe it or not, if I have to boil it all down, I had to go back and find a higher power that I could truly turn everything over to, that loved me unconditionally. So it was okay to make a mistake. It was okay not to be perfect. It was really okay to just be Marie. I feel like, I'm still learning what that is. Who that is. I shared with you that my husband passed away a few years ago, and I was his caregiver, supporter, and wife of 37 years. And I still miss him every day. But what I realized is that doesn't, just because that pain of grief is with me a lot of times and still very much is. Eating will not solve that. As a matter of fact, it will keep me from moving forward. I had to do things and still have to do things. Whatever is in front of me is so important that I do whatever's in front of me. If I need, especially going to my meetings, making phone calls, my 10 steps, I just wanted to stay in a box. I did not want to be in the rest of the world. And what I found was my higher power loves me so much that I got the strength there and through this fellowship to do that. If I hadn't had the fellowship, I can only imagine where I would be in the steps. I can only imagine where I would be now. So I'm finding out that I'm finding out years ago, somebody gave me another tip. She goes, "Marie, it's hell in the hallways." Right? So when changing from one thing to another, no matter what that is, for me to expect everything to be going along smoothly and to me to feel great, I mean, all the time is unrealistic expectation. And I want to tell you, food in any degree does not help any of that. It never helps any of that. And so,
5 minutes left, Marie.
thank you. So for today, I am in abstinent, doing those things that I've wanted to do that I was not able to do because my focus, and I wanted to be with my husband, quite honestly. It's allowing me to explore the world a bit, so in an abstinent way. Not just abstinent physically, but abstinent in terms of I take my higher power with me. I have a spiritual connection today that God just loves me. And don't have to beat myself up if I'm not being perfect. Perfect threw me back, perfect many ways threw me right back into the food every time. I used it as an excuse to go back into the food. So today what my life looks like is I very much believe in doing 10 steps on a regular basis. I make a lot of meetings, sponsor. I have a sponsor. I have a couple of few sponsors. Actually, really, they're my teachers now. I realize they're my teachers, but I got to do the work. And God will show me what I need to see. It doesn't have to be what God showed, just what sponsor thinks, right? I have many people I call on and pray with to help me go, what would you have me do, God? In any situation I get in. I'm still working. Actually, I'm a retiree, and then I went back to work for a bit, and I'm working my way back out again into retirement. But because of working the steps, being abstinent day. By the way, guys, I just got today. I can't afford to think about all the time frames. My goal when I got into OA was I was going to be 30 years and everybody was going to think I was wonderful. I am almost 70 years old, man. That ain't going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I'm just going to have to take it a day at a time and be grateful for every day that I don't put extra bites in my mouth or every day that I'm not back into those bags of things with wrappers, or the cold stuff. Gratitude, man, gratitude. I'm really blessed to be able to reach out to a few folks, and I practice gratitude every night because without it, I would not be here. I wouldn't be here. I certainly wouldn't be on this meeting. I would be way back in the food. But thanks to this, I'm going through grieving. I'm going through life. This is just life stuff, and I'm not. There's nothing that says I don't have to do life stuff. But I get to do it with all of you. I get to do it with a program and a design for living that really does work. I'm in some ways I'm happier than I've ever been with that hint of sadness underneath. And you know what? That's okay. That's just where I am now, and that's a good thing. Anyway, thank you so much for allowing me to share with you this morning. And sorry it was so discombobulated, but some days that's just where my head goes. So anyway. Thank you very much, and God bless.